Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
War has been declared on the American patriot, the Donald Trump supporter, you and I, the Christian conservatives. The fact is, we are at war right now with our own government. And I know that sounds really, really, I don't know how that sounds, but that's the way it is. They declared war on us. We didn't declare war on them. And the principal, arm of the warriors against us is the Department of Justice. We see that with Steve Bannon, day two of his trial, jury selection yesterday. And now, of course, they're talking today about the possibility of allowing a defense into the trial. And the defense would revolve around the existence of executive privilege, which was the basis, I have to say, the basis for filing the charges. So this is really, right now, it could be a mistrial. It should be a mistrial in any other venue. D.C., he's not going to get a fair trial in D.C. He's facing 2 years in prison for a civil contempt citation. Hey, where's Lois Lerner? Where's Eric Holder? No, they're untouchable, right? I'm pissed off because my government is screwing me. They're asking me to bend over, no lube, up the wazoo. That's what they're doing to Steve Bannon, to Peter K. Navarro, to me, to Alex Jones, to anyone who cares. Understand where this is going. And I'll tell you the second thing, the second arm of their weaponry is our military. But wait, hold on. There's a recent military presence at the French ambassador's this past weekend. I don't know if you've seen this photo. The representatives there. Here you go. On the left is Dick Levine. Dick Levine. Richard Dick Levine. Do I need to say it again? Dick Levine. On the right is the guy in charge of essentially our nuclear stockpile stuff. Now look at that photograph. Oh, you got to get the shoes. You got to get the shoes. What a bunch of homo, queer, idiot morons. Meanwhile. I got hairy legs, right. Biden, that cockroach, is ready right now to do the bidding of Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and others to declare, you ready for this? A climate emergency to ram through the green agenda. If you don't think for 1 second that that's not going to affect you, then I don't know what to tell you. Another thing, okay. I'm not going to play any videos today because I've got somebody with me. But another thing. You know, Peter Schweitzer wrote in Gatestone Institute last week, America's retreat by 1,000 small steps. You know, thanks to the Treasury Department's interpretation of law, Americans can still own stock in companies that were placed on a blacklist by the Trump administration because of their direct ties to the Chinese communist military. It's okay, though. And also, thanks to the Biden regime, the China initiative at the Department of Justice to crack down on Chinese attempts to acquire or steal American technology. Yeah, they discontinued that. What the hell? Why not? You might want to ask Hunter what that's got to do with, you know, if Hunter, you might want to ask Joe and Hunter about this and see, they're setting up Hunter and Joe. They're setting up Joe right now to take the fall. They don't want Joe anywhere near the midterms. You understand this? And they don't want Harris there either. How they're going to pull this off, I don't know. With me is Randy Taylor, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I am good, my friend. How are you this morning?
I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off because we have patriots in prison. We've got patriots on trial. We've got patriots that are in the crosshairs. We have been, we are in the crosshairs. And you know what? I don't know if we're going to be on the air a year from now, a half a year from now. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, I ain't going down easy. Go on.
We don't know what the next year holds, my friend. As far as that trial, and if they don't have a defense in there, then it's not a trial. That's for certain. They're showboating. This is all showboating. This is all prior to the midterms. Right now, the country is in peril. And I'll tell you why. Just when you flashed up the picture there of Dick Levine and whatever that was standing next to him, people don't realize other countries are looking at this. There's generals sitting around a table in China and generals sitting around tables in Russia and North Korea, and they're looking at us and going, if there's a time to hit, now's it. We are very weak right now. We are very vulnerable, and it's because of this kind of crap. You know what?
I'm going to gouge my eyeballs out.
I know. If Levine was qualified for the job, that would be one thing. But showing up dressed like this, in my opinion, is an absolute insult against the military. It's an insult against the country. It's an insult against our flag. It's an insult against the citizens of this great country. That should never be allowed, period. I don't care about the gay stuff. I don't care. If you want to be a chick with a penis, do your thing, okay? But please do not force it on me and do not embarrass me any further than you've already done. We are a laughing stock worldwide. They're sitting over there laughing every time they see something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all laughing at us. And if you can't see that we're being set up for a great fall, you've got people coming across the border down south in droves.
2.5 million since Joe Biden came in.
We are being invaded, and he's trying to tell the world that the border's closed.
Yeah.
That's what he actually has the balls to say. The border's closed. Really? It doesn't look closed to me. The only thing you didn't give them was a sandwich and a life jacket when they were swimming across. And I love Abbott down there in Texas. He did the smart thing. Dump it on D.C. D.C. creates the problem. I would ship everybody to D.C.
You know, I got a problem. Okay, so I got a problem with you and you. Okay, I got a problem with Abbott. Sir. I got a problem with the Arizona governor. Any state, border state governor, I got a problem with. All right.
How's that, sir?
Okay. Abbott's fine. Put him on buses and send him up to D.C.
Yeah.
Now, okay. That's the wrong approach. All right. You put people down there, you strafe when they start coming over, and they turn around and go back, okay? That way, you don't have to use buses. You don't have to handle all of this other crap. You just strafe the ground. I'm not saying kill the people. You just strafe them. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if they're cartels, I don't care. Blow them up. But secure the friggin' border. Otherwise, we don't have a country. And Abbott's not doing that. That's why we need Carrie Lake, by the way. We need Carrie Lake. Not that Mike Pence, Karen, whatever her name is, piece of crap in there. We need Carrie Lake in Arizona and Abbott to either wake up and start doing things or get the hell out. Because we need people down there. I'll tell you what. I'm ready. I'll go down there.
There's tons of people that Doug would join us in a second. I go down there and just even start patrolling the border. I'm more of the type that I would just as soon move, say, 2nd Division. You know, take a military division and put them on the border and just tell them nobody comes in. That's just the end of it. Because... And even from the wanting to appear that they're doing something for the immigrants, as they keep piling immigrants on top of what's sitting here and piling the illegals on, they're not doing even the illegals any justice. The people that have tried to come in legally, I guarantee they're being pushed back and back and back. And those are the ones, if I'm going to support anybody coming in, are the ones that are doing it the right way. The people that filed the paperwork, the people that are that knew what a port of entry looked like, you know, and didn't try and crawl under a barbed wire fence in the middle of the night. Those are the people that we want, and they're the ones that are going to be pushed to the back. And right now, it's gotten so bad that even the ones we want, I hate to say it, it all needs to stop now until we get caught up or get some sense of direction, organization, and maybe develop what they call a plan. But we don't have one. No, we've got one hand in our pants, okay, and the other hand waving, come on, everybody come on. Nobody's thinking this out. Babies of American citizens are having trouble getting baby formula. But if you're someone from south of the border that came in, trust me, there's baby formula for you, but not for the people that paid for it. Everything that's going on down there is coming out of our pockets. And I'm going to tell you something. We haven't even been hit yet with what's coming with this climate emergency. The taxes are going to put the average American family under.
Oh, you got
that. You have that no right. idea. And I can speak intelligently about this because remember, I'm back and forth between U.S. and Canada.
Yep.
Okay. Trudeau is taxing the crap out of everybody up north.
But how do you like his haircut?
And that's, yeah, that was pretty cool. I laughed so hard when I saw that picture. But this bozo the clown is up here and driving prices. People, and I'm not joking, okay? From the beginning of the year to this day, okay, we're over 25% increase in the grocery store. Forget fuel, okay? Just the grocery store. Think about that. What family, you're already in tight times. You're coming off this COVID nonsense. So you're already scrambling many people without jobs. And now you're going to get hit with these taxes that are just unbelievable. It's just nuts. It's nuts. And nobody's exempt from it. There's no way around it. There's no reason to this. There's no rhyme to it. There's no justification for what's going on. There's nothing. There he can't even show anything for it.
Everything's going to plan. See, that's what
according
people
to
think.
Their plan.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. People have to wake up and realize that, you know, we are getting the Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger treatment. Okay. This is all. By the way, I just want to take a second because a good friend of yours, a good friend of mine, in my view anyway, I appreciate these people. John from Darwin, Australia, Michael as well wrote in. Adam, thank you so much. You know who you guys are. Yeah. Adam, love the guy.
You have to get the vacation pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about you, brother. All right. So anyway, but see, everything's going according to their plan. And and Donald Trump stopped that plan. Okay.
Exposed it.
He exposed it and put a temporary stop to it. That's why they had to get rid of him. And that's why, by the way, this Lost Not Stolen report that came out that CNN aired by a bunch of rhino assholes. What a bunch of hooey that was, because it didn't dig down deep into the actual. And you know, people are so idiotic. They're an inch deep, but, you know, they'll go the width, but they won't dig into what's there. It's just crazy stuff. Go ahead, sir.
Did you see that last night with the Indiana shooter?
Was it the good guy that took down the...
Yeah, that was Sunday. That's the point we're trying to make. Now, you're not going to see that on CNN, MSNBC, and all those. Fox had it on this morning, was talking about it.
22-year-old kid.
22-year-old kid, yeah. Saw what was going on, actually engaged this guy from a distance with a handgun.
30 feet.
Yeah, that's which when you're... Most shootings with handguns, people don't understand this, occur within 10 feet or less.
Right.
It's that close.
And seriously, it's once quick.
You got it. And this is no joke. When a close firefight like that happens, a lot of times you don't even get hit. I mean, it's nuts. Right. I can't explain this phenomenon. Been in it, done there, been there, done that.
Yep. Yep.
But it's like you would think that they were 200 yards away the way they missed. But that's what it is. That's where training, calmness, things like that come in. You stop, you pull up your target, you take out your target. It's that simple.
So
forget about all the gunshots and all everybody screaming and everything.
Right.
Do your job.
Right.
That kid did it and he saved lives. They should be pinning a medal on that kid.
And yet you got the left saying, well, it's a gun-free zone. You know, one wrong doesn't make, or one right doesn't make, or whatever that saying is, but neither one should have had guns. That's what they're saying, okay? So the backstory of this.
So neither one of them should have, but somebody was thinking and had one left on.
Right.
And if he's cleared to carry it, that's good. And he obviously knew what he was doing.
I believe everyone should be armed. Because absolutely. it would be a different society if everyone was armed.
Well, just look. Remember down in Florida, Doug, when Bush passed the law to protect your life.
Yeah, stand your ground.
Absolutely. Overnight, things changed. Home invasions stopped. I mean, it was nuts. But that's what you have to do. The bad guys have to know that someone will kill them. Somebody has to stand up to them. And folks, I'll give you this advice. I don't care what the law is. I really don't. It's better to be tried by 12 than to be carried by 6.
You know, I'll share something personal. I think maybe you might have. I know you know this, but the people out there don't know this. 3 years ago, of course, it was a bad time in my life. And I had some people that needed to answer to certain things, and it was just a bad situation. That was the only time in my life, okay, that there were 7 police officers outside of a house that, how can I put this without giving too much detail away? I got out of my truck. I was carrying a 9mm in my hand. And so think about this, okay? You got 7 police officers there. Because responding to a call I made, mm-hmm. saying they need to go into this location and get these people. And they're like, well, you know, not really. I said, I'm on my way. Just to let you know, I'm on my way. I'm armed. I'm not going to shoot anybody unless I get shot at So when I got out of the vehicle, and how many people would, and I wasn't thinking, okay, maybe I was thinking, but I wasn't thinking. Anyway, I got out with a 9mm exposed.
You were hurting, man.
Okay, and the cops all looked at me, and you know, somebody does that, the cops are going to draw down on you, right? None of these cops did. I looked at the officer in charge. I said, "You got a choice to make. One of us is going to go in there,
mm-hmm.
and." The situations are going to be really vastly, the end result is going to be vastly different. So I'm going to leave it up to you. You tell me.
Ball's in your court, sir.
And you know what they did? They went in.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like the Uvalde cops.
Oh. Not like, you know. What? Explain that to me.
I don't know, but give me some hand sanitizer anytime there's a shootout. Doug, you were hurting 3 years ago, and I'm sure the police knew that.
Well, yeah, but you have this look on your face, and it's like, okay, you know, something needs to be done. And mm-hmm. and I said that not for any bravado, but to say we need to have that in our gut. Okay,
yeah,
something
that attitude,
better.
Yeah.
You know what? Either you're going to do this, or we're going to do it, but mm-hmm. it's going to get done. I don't care if it's the southern border or these yep. or the bull crap shootings wherever. Let's mm-hmm. get her done.
That's what I told my wife. I said, if it was my kid and they're in school and there's a gunman in there and the cops are standing around outside, I'm going to tell them I'm going in. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
And that's it. This is the sword I was wearing, so you know who you're shooting at. But I'm going in. I wouldn't sit there and wait. I wouldn't sit there and let an officer stand me down. I'm sorry. If my kid was in there.
That's right.
I'll go in and solve this problem. Now you can either come with me or you're going to be against me.
In which case I will shoot
you.
You
know, either way I'm going in. But it's just like, and it's so Doug and our friends, he knows that
Oh, no doubt in my mind.
when I came down after that happened with Joe, you know, I'm pretty much the attitude, I should keep my friend out of trouble because he was grieving and he was angry. But at the same time, if it was had to be done, he ain't going alone. That's for certain. And he knows, and Doug knows that.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I only said that to kind of paint the picture of to me, what we need to.
Yes, we need to stop standing around.
This country, okay, and to me, this country is being victimized every single day.
We're being invaded without a shot fired.
Right.
Except the shots at children in schools, and the more I look at these, it always seems odd to me that whenever the gun debate comes up, then we have these school shootings. Whenever the focus is back on guns, we have the school shootings. So I still haven't figured that math out, and nobody can tell me that the government is not in one way or another involved in some of these incidents. Okay, and I'm not talking about the U.S. government signed on a piece of paper, boom, boom, boom. I'm talking about departments in the government that you don't even know about.
Right.
Departments in the government that even in my past, I got a small glimpse of, but I was never for sure of, but I knew they made things happen. Even with the war on terrorism, you know, the laws weren't always abided by. I got that. I know that. I was there with you, you know, but we have to have some balls.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. You almost have to pretend like you're back in the frontier and there's no sheriff for 300 miles, you know?
Well, essentially, that's where we had. That's where
did you see how many police officers have been murdered this year? The numbers are astronomical.
Right.
The war on the police. And thank God for the guys and gals that stuck it out and remained as police officers and are there today. But your job is so difficult. I get it. I don't even know. You've been let down by your government. That's certain. And they turn around and put a target on your back. I watched what happened yesterday, like these gangs of black kids, ghetto kids, running into these stores and just robbing them.
Oh, yeah.
They're just taking the stuff because you're not, the security guard's not going to do anything. And heaven forbid they shoot at somebody or rough somebody up because now it becomes a racial incident.
That's right.
We're in this we're in a quagmire here. And we have to look past that. And they do that to make people hesitant. To make people, it's almost like dealing with an insurance company. You know, they make it the road so rough that they hope you just throw it down and say, forget it.
That's right.
And that's what the government's doing to us right now. You're almost told that, you know, if they come in to rob you, just stand there and let them take everything. Which when we had businesses, that was our policy. Let them take it. But it wasn't blatant like it is today. I mean, they just walk in the door and it's a mob action. And it isn't like they're starving children looking for a piece of bread, which no one would deny them of that. These guys are coming in and just grabbing stuff off the shelves, jewelry, clothes, anything that's marketable. The last hit that I saw in there, the one store, $500,000.
In Rolex watches and man bags. Yeah.
Whoa, you're talking about putting a company out of business.
And that was in Malibu, California. Meanwhile, in Chicago, the police officers... There was a shooting, a death, a murder, actually, from the shooting. And the police found, or they saw the vehicle where the perpetrator was in. They were following it, pursuing the vehicle. And the dispatcher said, stop your pursuit. Okay, that was an order from the command structure. Now, this is Lori Lesbian Lightfoot, okay? Her orders, basically. And right after that, they had to cancel the pursuit. They lost the murder suspect. And over the radio, somebody said, this department sucks. And thank God for that remark.
One of the officers said that.
Yeah, yeah. This department sucks.
They're still trying to track that one down. What's the deal with Newsom here? Somebody's talking about putting him in the White House.
You know, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Constitutionally, Article 12, I have to look at this a little bit. Yeah, I mean, they're going to throw, they've already thrown Biden under the bus. Mm-hmm. Harris couldn't, the only thing Harris is good for is, you know, sucking the chrome off a bumper, mm-hmm. maybe.
And taking a sentence and making nine sentences to say what could be said in one sentence.
Right, right. Just tossing words out aimlessly. Yeah. So,
she was on. I watched her whining again about my body, my choice. What happened with all these shots you forced people to take? They're our bodies. They're our choices. Oh, maybe not. How can you sit there and keep a straight face and say that we believe in my body, my choice for killing babies, but when it comes to someone injecting poison in your arm, you're not supposed to say no?
It's different.
They don't even have an argument. There's not even an argument. I don't know why people don't just scream at her and throw stuff at her. She makes no sense. It's complete pig's work. I don't like her. And this is in charge. This is what's in charge of the greatest nation in the world, most powerful country in the world. You know what I mean? And I don't know. We're in trouble, man.
No, you could have Pete Buttplug in there.
There you go. There you go. Better yet, why don't we take Levine and give him a? Yeah, I'm sure. You know they're sitting over there laughing at us. You know they are. This is so embarrassing. This is incredibly embarrassing, and we are in a very vulnerable state right now. I'll tell you right now, if China hit us right now, they'd slaughter us.
And don't think that they're not thinking that.
And I'm not joking, people. I'm not joking. Forget this Russia is the threat. Russia is the threat. The next idiot in Washington says that Russia is the most dangerous thing we face or out of their tree. Most dangerous thing we face is China and ourselves.
And there it is. And with that, Randy Taylor, we're going to be getting together tomorrow for a longer segment. I appreciate you coming on today. I really do.
Absolutely, brother. Anytime. I love you, and I love our audience out there. Getting some great emails. Thank you.
And keep the emails coming. Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Doug at HagmanReport.com. I appreciate you. Randy, I appreciate you. God bless you. All right, we'll talk. All right. That was Randy Taylor. I'll tell you what. We have a lot in common. We did a lot of things together in the past, a lifetime ago, and there's still – we have to wait until the statute of limitations runs out on some, but otherwise we'll be fine. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, please, please, please do me a favor. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to the what I want to say. It's kind of a money bomb, but it's a – it's the Egyptian-American, thank you, Eric the Tech, the Egyptian-Alien Connection in the Americas. I don't know why sometimes my mind can't get wrapped around that. Now, here's something. This is coming out on the 30th. The full boat is coming out on the 30th. You can pre-register up until then. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? There will be updates to this. You sign up now. There'll be updates to this. Because this is an ongoing process. The stuff that is coming out will blow your mind. And it has everything to do with today. So please, please, it's a buck and a half. It's $150, okay? But you get a massive PDF. You get three interviews with that. And then you'll get updates subsequent to the release of this. And the updates are as important because of the way, because of the information that the updates have inscribed on them. So that is HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner for the Egyptian and Alien Connections in the Americas. I talked to Steve today, and... We're both very, very excited about this and how things are playing out and how things will play out. This kind of gives us an idea of what's coming, what has been, and what is coming. And, wow, it makes a lot of sense. And Daniel Holdings, God bless that man, putting it into such a great order. All right. Do we have Stan? All right. Now, folks. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Dale, one of the smartest men I know. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the smartest guys I know. He just had a Patreon meeting. Join his Patreon. get into Stan's head. Not really, but support Stan and Holly Dale by signing up as Patreon members. And you can also benefit by their meetings, which I'll tell you this, the information imparted to the people involved in those meetings is second to none. And Stan, of course, has a lot of intellectual property material available both for sale and for free at standale.com. Headlines there as well every day. And some just great information. And while you're there, make sure you get EMP. EMPshield.com. No, don't get an EMP. Get an EMP shield, okay? Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, well. EMPshield.com. EMPshield.com. If you use the code Hagman, you get $50 off multiple purchases, bulk purchases, like one for your house, one for your car, one for your boat, one for your generator, one for your... You don't want to know what I was going to say next, but okay. But anyway, so there's discounts for multiple orders. I'm telling you right now, it really makes a difference, and it gives you peace of mind. So stuff, you can protect your stuff, your house. It won't start on fire, you know, necessarily. It'll prevent the fires. If you go back to what happened in, 1849, 1879, whatever the year that was, the Carrington event, understand that. You'll understand why you need one of these. All right, Stan Dale from standale.com. You got the hour, brother.
Good evening, sir.
Good.
Sounds like it's been a long day for you, too.
Yes.
I'm tired.
No.
Yes.
Just a long day, long night ahead. And long day tomorrow plan. So, you know, what are you going to do, right? Yeah.
Well, you live one day at a time. Tell you what, each day seems to bring more and more bad news, good news in a way, because it's fulfilling prophecy. But boy, I try to split my topics in between the news, which is not good, and science and things, you know, videos other people make, other Christian people make to... lighten the day, because when you get down to the end of the day, you're pretty worn out just reading the news. Wow. Anyway,
oh, that's for sure.
Where are we going to go today? Let's see. Let's get the political stuff out of the way in the Middle East. Let's look at slide 50. It's a very short read. It's about Biden and his entourage going in to talk with the Palestinian representatives in Eastern Jerusalem. And if you click on the picture, Eric, it's a picture of two pictures, actually, of his car. And normally, the president, you know, in a foreign country, in this case, Israel, they wear a flag for the United States on the car on the right side and the visiting country's flag on the left. Well, what they did with this visit to the Palestinian representative there in East Jerusalem is they took down the Israeli flag on the left side of the car and replaced it with the Palestinian Authority flag, which was really a rude slap in the face for the Israelis recognizing the Palestinian state like that and using their flag instead of the Israeli flag, because the Palestinians are really in Israel, you know, not Palestine. And so I thought I would make a comment about that, saying that this is really quite indicative of what Biden and his backers really think about Israel. Just an open slap in the face.
One, what a putz. And two, I want to know who the hell made that decision, because it wasn't Marbles Biden. Who made that decision? I mean, you know, was it Dr. Jill? Was it Ron Klain? Was it? I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, you want to play game? Go ahead.
Did you happen to read yet another article around that period of time, I guess a couple of days before Biden arrived, that the Israelis arrested or sent out of the country, sent back to America, one of the Secret Service agents that was in the, you know, the preliminary Secret Service goes to the country before the president does and do arrange things and check things out.
Right, the advancement. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd been having too much to drink or something other, so much so that, they sent him home. The Israelis did, which, sad. Anyway, yeah, minor thing.
That's where we are today. That speaks. I mean, there it is. Like that. You want to toss that picture up there? Okay. This is a clown show that we got. Okay. That stuff going on. And then, of course, this. You got Dick Levine at left and the guy at right, responsible for our nuclear stockpile, discarding stuff, whatever. Okay, there you got America's finest, the Biden regime finest. It just makes.
Is that a guy or a girl on the right?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Okay, I think he's got the dangling participle. I think both of them. See, both of them have the dangling participle. Okay, the outdoor plumbing. But you know.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So, and as I said earlier, you got to get the shoes too, because that makes the outfit. There you go.
Right. Oh dear.
What a clown show. Okay, so there you go. All right, brother. It's all
yours. I tell you, we are so doomed. How do we get rid of all these people? Even if you got a strong president back in, like Trump, for his failings, he's still the best option we've got. And to get him back in, well, let's say we put ourselves back in, Doug. We think we're nice guys and rational thinkers. How in the heck would you get rid of this deep rot that has gone into the military, into the civil service, into the whole country, into the Congress? Why? How could you get rid of all this in one term?
Give them 30 seconds to give them a 30 second head start and, 5-5-6.
I love it.
I mean, seriously, how else are you going to do it? You got two choices. You can either get the hell out of my house or be carried out. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I'm so sick and tired of all of this, Stan. I'm to the point where I don't care anymore. Okay, I really don't care. And that's where I'm at. I don't care how it gets done. Let's just get it done. The southern border. I was talking in the first segment. Okay, you know what my answer is? You get a bunch of people down there with the proper weaponry and just strafe when somebody tries to come over. Don't hit them. Just fire a warning shot. They keep coming, then hit them. And if necessary, pile the bodies up, necessary height. And pretty soon they're going to stop trying. You throw some alligators in there for good measure, for cleanup.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know what? It doesn't take, it's not that. I'll volunteer. I'll go down there on my little rascal scooter.
Okay. Tech. I agree. Look, years ago when I was still in Australia, the wharf unions, the wharfies there, were on strike and holding up everything, and they're handled by the communists down there, the socialist, quote, communists. And I was driving from up in the hills there, Kalamunda, next to Perth, down into Perth, the office or something, and I was thinking along the way, listening to this on the radio about what these clowns at the wharfs were doing, holding up everything, and I thought, boy, if I were the Prime Minister of Australia, what would I do to solve this? I would talk to them like this, I'd offer them that, they'd probably reject that. And I was running through these scenarios, and in the end, I had them lined up on the wharf and was pushing them off into the ocean. there was no choice left in my mind that would really get rid of the problem. But,
well, that's one way. I like that.
Well, if they can swim, maybe they can come back home. But, it's so illogical. We're looking at a war, really. And you're not going to negotiate, happy times with soldiers who are dedicated to your overthrow. It's going to require a forceful means. And that's not going to be a foolproof solution. It might stall off the eventual chaos of civil war, but that's about what it's going to come to here. It does in other countries, it has in history, but we're there now. So anyway.
Yeah, we are.
Speaking of, kicking people over the side, slide 55, the Palestinian Authority says to the Israelis, you must leave Jerusalem because you have no history in Jerusalem. The Palestinian Authority and Fatah recently broadcast another video that denies Jewish history in the land. It said, oh, coward, you must leave because you have no history in our Jerusalem and it's not your homeland. So, they're kicking them out. That's their solution. The Palestinian Authority want to kick out the Israelis because they don't belong. What a crock full of it. You know, I guess if you say it enough times, people might believe it somewhere. I don't know.
Well, anyway. Hey, just toss the Palestinian flag on the beast and that'll solve everything. All right.
Yeah, of course. You know, I watch Saudi Arabia and of course Mohammed bin Salman every day trying to figure out what they're up to. I think their long game is that they're going to go after Israel. They're going to lead an Arab starting against Israel at some point in time. Now, whether MBS is, you know, the Antichrist or not, we can debate that all day long. But I think he's a close runner if he's not the Antichrist coming. But what I saw in slide 52 was, here's Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia, the prince, now opening up the Saudi skies to overflights from Israel, to and from Israel. And you think, well, gee, that's a nice gesture, but they haven't made it part of a peace agreement overture to Israel. They're just letting them fly over back and forth. It's kind of, I think it's deceptive political actions here, so that the MBS is making the world think, well, I'm amenable to change, and I might even sign that that Abraham Accords, you know, and join the other Arab nations that have made peace with Israel. But I do not trust these Arabs. I just don't trust them. I mean, the Iranians, foregone conclusion, they're bad news because they've declared their intentions openly. They want to destroy Israel, get rid of them, gone. Whereas Saudi Arabia and, you know, some 40-odd other Arab nations that are allied with it say, well, you know, we're looking at peace and establishing peace with you guys. In fact, even they said, MBS said, we're silently kind of under the table making peace overtures to Iran if they will concede certain things, and so we can have peace in the region. But don't believe it. Mohammed bin Salman is not telling the truth. He's definitely a bad actor, and he's going to cause a lot of heartache in Israel and the United States and in the region. One of the things that I kind of hold out for is that an invading Arab force from prophecy is going to be destroyed, you know, wiped out as they try to take over Israel. And I can only think that it's going to be one of two things, either an act of God or it's going to be secret weapons that the Israelis have and they deploy against an invading army or armies there on the ground. And that'll convince the rest of the guys in the neighborhood to leave them alone, I think, anyway. Gog and Magog is another thing. They're probably not reading the local news and get the memos to leave Israel alone.
Yeah.
Another peaceful thing, you know, allegedly there in the Middle East, slide 51, there is a Saudi Arabian magazine, and it puts out its first positive article on the Israeli Defense Force. The Herev, or Sword Battalion, comprised of Druze, Jewish, and Christian soldiers, are an elite unit, especially trained in the Northern Command of Israel. Last weekend, the Saudi Arabian London-based magazine, Al Majalla, ran a cover story featuring Arab Israelis who serve in the IDF. The article describes the IDF as the People's Army, in which Israeli Jews, Druze, Muslims, Arabs, Bedouins, and Christians are brothers in arms. There's a picture of this unit up there, the Sword Battalion. All these things look good on paper. I mean, you know, let's have peace. Let's all get together, lovey-dovey. But, or if you're dealing with an Arab traitor, keep your hand on your wallet at all times. This can't be trusted.
Oh, man. I'll remember that next time I'm at a Turkish bazaar, street bazaar. Okay.
The bazaar, you know, the Middle East word, you know, in Arabic and Hebrew dialect here, bazaar is the meat market. Bazaar.
Bazaar. Meat market.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to put it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you ever had falafel?
Not intentionally, no.
Yeah. Well, falafel is a good shortened abbreviation for my opinion of that food over there in the meat markets there in Jerusalem. Falafel is freaking awful. Wrong word, I guess, but you know what I'm saying.
I you know what? I don't even know what the hell that is. Okay, falafel.
Well, it's some kind of a meat, like ball thing served in a little pocket of you know, pita bread or something like that. It's, yeah. And
sounds like a hamburger. Yeah, I mean, give me a hamburger.
Sort of, yes. Complete with the flies. When you're in the bazaar, everything's out in the open. You kind of shoo the flies away from the shawarma hanging there or whatever. It's just, it's an interesting lifestyle.
Mm. Well, when I was in New York City, there was this open air market of Chinese food, and everything was written in Chinese. I thought I was in a different country. This is back, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. And, yeah, flies were present. And I'm thinking.
And, never to take your dog to the market with you, or at least keep him on a short leash.
Yeah, no thank you. All of this crap going on in the third world. But yet, hey, eating bugs is okay.
Did you see that in Canada, that the Cheeto puffs, cheese puffs, that they now have mealworm in them, insects in them, like they grind it up and cook it into it?
Yeah, Stan, what the hell?
There's a falafel picture,
okay, there. Falafel. Oh, boy. Yeah. How about just a meatball sub then, okay, with extra cheese? What the hell? I don't
know. It depends on what's in the kind of meat pastry mix, there in those balls. That's the major offender in this. I mean, and it's a bit sloppy to eat, too. But anyway, that's here or there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Done properly, that would be a great meal. I'm sure it would taste fine.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails saying, you're just, you don't like falafel. You never had it right. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, you've never been to the markets there. On the ground where it all happens over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I suppose you get used to it like anything else.
But wait a second. Cheetos with ground insects. Okay, so why? I mean, why?
They're trying to get rid of our dependence on animal, protein to go to insect protein. They're talking about putting crickets in next, because they're, because they're crunchy. I don't know. But I'm now looking closely at my little jalapeno Cheetos that I love to pieces. And I looked and couldn't see any writing down at the bottom that said we use crickets in our jalapeno Cheetos, but you never know. I guess it's just a move to stop having to use cattle and pigs and goats and whatever.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not eating bugs. I'm eating meat. You're not gonna take that away from me, not you, Stan, but they.
Yeah.
And I will fight to the death. Okay. Oh, hot Cheetos. Eric the Tech is on fire, man. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, so they can kiss my fat white ass. Actually, not so fat, but seriously, I ain't doing it. I am not doing it. No.
You've seen Star Trek over the years where the Klingons have a gach, which is a plate full of live worms that they eat. They're moving us in that direction with these mealworms that they're grinding up and putting into sausages up in Canada for this picnic or celebration they've got for something happening, but they're actually it's a bunch of woke people up there, and part of their wokeness was to serve these mealworm sausages, hot dogs.
These people are sick, and Nicole Kidman did a commercial about eating worms. Just have ivermectin on hand, folks, seriously, for the parasites, because there was a study that came out, I just saw it, that these insect-based diets will, in fact, cause people to have parasites more than they do. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly hoping they don't take away my favorite hot Cheetos, but right now it's up in Canada.
Knowing you, you can grow your own Cheetos from Cheeto trees. I'm sure you can.
even the weather is so bad this year, our pepper plants are only maybe about that tall, where normally they're that tall with peppers hanging out, but they're only about that tall. And even the tomato bushes are, half size. Onions are prolific and great and wonderful, but the chilies, jalapenos and the tomatoes and stuff are stunted. And
We're getting tomatoes. We got tomatoes here. I mean, hey, there we go.
Oh, Eric, you're having fun, I can tell.
Smoky barbecue mealworms for those listening. What is wrong with these people?
That's made in the United States. Did you see that in the corner there?
Oh, yeah. Well, Boy, isn't that reassuring.
What's that? Yeah, go on.
No, I just want to know, okay, to anyone who thinks this is a good idea, I just have one question. What in the hell's wrong with you? That's all. Okay.
Yeah, human race has survived for, well, take it back, European human race and like normal folks like us have survived on that for centuries. But I had to check what I'm saying, because in the Asian food markets, the insects are kind of, you know, the done thing. Get barbecued, roasted, whatever, all the time. And in certain Middle East markets, the same thing. I draw the line at a lot of those things, especially like scorpions. I could never see eating a fried scorpion, but there you go.
You know, I thought I was really daring. Look at that insect burger on your insect burger. Okay, what the? You couldn't pay me to revolutionary, it says. No. And by the way, scorpions, I thought I was being like really brave when I tried both Rocky Mountain oysters as well as fried snake in Florida once. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was snake, but there was also conch meat. Anyway.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, you know, I'm really going on a limb. But
once in my crazy youth, I did sample chocolate covered ants. Snake, okay, well, you know, snake is a good survival food if you just cook it properly and be sure you kill the parasites in it. You never want to eat the iguanas or lizards and stuff like that, because they're just chock a block full of parasites. And not safe food to eat, in my opinion, anyway.
But. No, I don't know. No, none of this is right. Klaus Schwab can.
Oh,
here we go.
Eric, where are you getting all this stuff?
So we're going to have to get some explanation behind insect balls.
Some big insects.
This is some big insects. Yeah. He said,
yeah, right.
There must be some pretty big insects there.
Unbelievable,
man. So there's something
you got to laugh. It's so crazy. You know, I'd vote for 3D printed food like on Star Trek. When you hit the food replicator, out comes a steak, all properly done. And they merge the protein molecules and everything and 3D print it. That would be fine, you know. But the other stuff, no.
You're talking about 3D printing. I'm trying to still operate my fax machine. I don't even know how to do that. And you're talking about 3D printing. Okay, I don't, whatever. 3D printing.
They use protein molecules and fuse them together. I mean, Israel's already starting to make 3D printed hamburgers, which is amazing.
Out of what?
Well, they have protein molecules. It's like inks that they deposit, you know, microlayer by microlayer, and they can generate artificial meat from that. And, I guess tomatoes and lettuce and cheese and stuff like that are all just protein combinations that they put into these guns that shoot it, you know, layer by layer until out comes the hamburger. But it takes so long that you got to wonder if your burger is going to be cold by the time you get it.
I got an idea. Get a cow, butcher a cow, and do it the right way.
You need some of that ink for your fax machine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fax me lunch, will you?
Fax me lunch, yeah. I still can't get over the fact that you can actually fax. Anyway, all right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. We've had our fun.
Okay, some other things here. Let's see here. Yeah, I guess slide 53 on the food lines that are increasing in length. Like, I think in Arizona, they reported one. It's in the article about 73% increase or so in the number of people in the food lines this year. And that's in America here. And normally America is at the top of the food chain. Everything's great and wonderful. American land of plenty. So if we're having food lines here and famine in some of the poor districts, you know, people starve to death, think about the rest of the world. You know, with the Ukrainian war with Russia and the impact that has on grain exports from Ukraine to all over the world. This is hitting a lot of the planet, and we're going to see attrition, you know, people dying because of this. Somehow or another, I know that this could have been avoided. Having read a CIA report years ago that was leaked to me, I know that there have always been plans, like in India, to control the population that can't be controlled by normal means, to delay or deny grain loans to them so that you could kill 100 million people in a famine. And this is a CIA document. As I say, I got it off the courier. Who felt so bad about it, let me have a look at it. It's a long story, but anyway, yeah. So looking at this here, it's hard to imagine here in America. It's like in the 30s, the Depression era, that people are standing there all day long just to get enough food to feed their family. Why? Because food is short. It's expensive when you can get it, and gas is so expensive that you can't really afford to drive all over the place and shop. You just got to go there on foot. Talking to the people that are standing in these lines, the journalists have seen, them say, look, I have to feed my children and stuff, and so I have to stand in this line. There's no other way. We can't afford the food otherwise. And then you have Biden's administration and the puppeteers saying, well, we're lowering the price of gas 3 cents a day or a week or whatever, and we're making some progress for that. So don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And while I'm on that, I'm sure you've seen the plethora of articles about electric buses, electric cars catching fire. And I saw an article about a young woman in the Western Journal or something here last week, where her dad and mom decided to surprise this college student girl with the gift of an electric car, secondhand, mind you, because they wanted to get it where they could afford it. And it's one of these little pregnant, roller skate things with electricity in it, batteries. And she had it for maybe 6 weeks or so, and it stopped running. She got all the warning lights on the dash, and then it stopped. Took it into the dealer. The dealer that sold it says, well, look, we just sell used cars. We don't really service them. It looks like you need a whole new battery for your car. Normally you think, well, okay, that's $90, $100, whatever. Battery for electric car for hers was $17,000. Well, she can't afford that. And there's no one to fix it, and there's no spare parts if they could. I mean, this has not been thought through by Musk and all the others that are pushing these electric cars. There's got to be a better way to do this. You got to have an infrastructure in there to support these things before you start making them commonplace. Anyway,
the Biden regime already said that they are the price of between the price of gas, the shutting down of all the refineries / oil lines and stuff, and the not allowing the drilling is to transition into this green energy. Biden's already on the climate ready to declare climate emergency in order to ram through this green agenda, which is only going to make things worse. And he's doing the bidding of the globalists because they're going to be driving whatever they want to, flying wherever they want to, using fuel and gas and jet A fuel and such, while we are relegated to our golf carts and our mealworms and our insect balls and whatever else we have to eat. And that's how they want to handle us. And I say right now, you know what? Ain't happening. And if we have to, let's take all of these morons to the woodshed out back and we'll take care of them. And I don't care how people take that. Go ahead.
If you and I were in charge of the planet and being honest about it, we could probably utilize the resources of the planet, living things and minerals that we consume and use to manufacture. We could probably do that wisely, more wisely than we do now, if there's any wisdom in what we do. But the only way we could do that is that we would have to be in control of the whole planet, have a fair law for everyone on the planet, and then have, stepped new developments of technology that spread out, into other countries, so that we do it as a gradual switchover. And we would have products that don't hurt the environment in the production of them.
Well, Stan, let me ask you a question, since you brought that up. Why not country by country do what is best for your own country? I don't want to be king of the world or in terms of the planet. I want to, if anything, let me have some say in the United States, and others can have, whatever country they're in. Why does that have? Why does it have to be a global, this global thing? I think we should be self-sufficient as the United States. We shouldn't import crap. Okay, anything, literally crap. By the way,
yeah.
We shouldn't. We should be able to handle these things on our own. That way, we're not dependent on another nation. They want to do their thing. Great. You want to eat bugs? Go ahead. As for me. So why are you speaking on the global level like this? I'm curious.
Well, because when I look at it logically, you have to have global law, because let's say China is producing so much pollution that it's blowing into the United States and into the ocean and killing our fish and stuff and us. How do you get them to stop encroaching on your free will here in the United States? That's a big example, but there are smaller ones all over the planet. And I'm in favor of a fair global government run by Jesus Christ himself, who built the planet and knows the rules. But by humans, we're flying blind if we try to do it. But in the long run, because we all share the resources of this planet, there has to be an overarching law about the use of resources, production and disposal of trash and, keeping the air clean, keeping the oceans clean. There are a number of things that we cannot address as humans because we're coming in after the fact and plugging this disaster and then another one pops up here because we don't know how the planet works. And that's why I say if we had the architect of the planet, Jesus Christ himself, if we had him here in charge, I would trust that as a global government.
Yes.
But I don't want to, I don't want to have a human global government, a bunch of idiots out there who don't know what they're doing, running the place, especially for us here. I agree. So,
which, by the way, folks, Cosmic Conspiracy's book, Standale's book, gets into a lot of this, and I would urge everyone that hasn't read that already to get it, Cosmic Conspiracy by Standale. Okay, go ahead.
You were talking about gas production and things. In slide 48, there was an article there. You can click on it and see it. It talks about... four or five gas production facilities that have caught fire and been destroyed here in the last month or so. The recent one here, they say here in Oklahoma, caused a 1.74 magnitude earthquake from the explosion of the gas plant. You can see it up there in the picture. And just 2 days earlier, there was another mysterious explosion near Houston, Texas, in a gas plant. Last month, a massive explosion at a liquefied natural gas terminal in the Quintana Island, and there was another unusual fire at the facility in Valdez, Alaska, on the 27th of June. Accidents, is kind of strange.
Just coincidence. Come on, man. Coincidence. Yeah. I watch the news. I read the papers. I keep up with MSM. It's just coincidence, and if you say otherwise, it's okay. No, again, this is a war. We're in a war. I believe that, but go ahead.
Yeah. And it's, it's a war where the people planning it, behind the scenes globalists, are driving us like sheep to a particular gate they want us to go through into a pen, into a place they can keep us stabilized and not being able to travel much, locked down, so that they can control the planet this way. It's because they do not recognize that there is a God. The God of Jesus, anyway, that they might recognize demigods. But the point is that they're trying to do it from a human point of view and not recognizing a creator and utilizing that creator to run the planet as it should be run.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, in slide 54, some more of the solar problems we're having, the drought. There's a short video there. If you click on the text, it'll take you over to it. And if you click on the picture, it takes you over to some excerpts. Click on the picture first, Eric. It shows flares on the sun. It shows the solar wind spiraling out over the next couple of days. It's going to be hitting us from that latest eruption on the sun, in fact, there are two of them. Then it shows the heat wave in Europe, the exceptional heat. They're talking about highways in the UK melting. Imagine your tires getting stuck in the road just from the melted tarmac or tar.
Hey, when that happens.
There you go. And then Okay, now let's see, where is that one there? That's something approached 110 degrees weather forecast approach 110 degrees Fahrenheit as dangerous high temperature bubble forms over the plains country here, where we are here, you know, Texas and the surrounding countries there.
Do you get excited States. Over that? I mean, not excited. Do you get concerned over these temperatures? Because honestly, it's summer. I mean, I don't know. Isn't this, haven't we always had this? I mean,
we haven't always, well, where we are out here, you know, in the flyover country, I think, in 2001 or two, there was a drought, you know, pretty hot temperatures. I think we did here in Colorado, we did see 112, 113 a couple of days, but they're rare. In the Middle East, of course, you get temperatures up to 145, 150 degrees out there in the sand, in the Saudi areas and stuff like that. But here, it is hitting crops. It is not at the right time of the year, and we're not having the relief of rainfall and snowfall like we used to. I mean, Lake Mead is drying up where the docks, you know, or the ropes fall off into the dirt that's now cracked mud. That's what all these pictures and what the video addresses when you click on the picture part of it, or sorry, on the text part of that. When the water isn't there, you can't ration, you can't do anything with it. We got the Colorado River under threat as well. You have the feeds going into the Hoover Dam. Okay, when those get below a certain level, you have no power for, 5-10 million people that depend on it, gone. And when you do that to 5-10 million people, you're going to have riots and civil disorder. Again, this may be just to the, you know, because of the sun and the stages it's going through at the moment, which are not pleasant things. I expect kind of almost every day to open up and see another solar flare or prominence that's millions of miles long, lift up off of the surface of the sun and blast off into space. Fortunately, they've all been going another direction. And you, it's the same kind of thing you were mentioning just a few minutes ago about the Carrington event of 1859.
It was in there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had to think about, too, there's so many things floating around these days with numbers attached and dates. But yeah, we're coming to a program point. I'm sure that the Lord built the planet to a program, and that things would change and get worse for, you know, a period of time here at the end of this age, which will bring about the changes necessary to get rid of Satan and those who follow him, you know, to make the survivors of that realize that they need to have a peaceful planet run by their creator and to stop, you know, breaking the rules, the laws. And this helps people understand the situation. You've got to get their attention. And it's, you know, it's programmed. If we'd been on board with the Lord, then we would have had warning about these things and how to prepare for them and to mitigate the situations with the environmental changes. But mankind has not done that.
No.
Look at a sun. Okay. Let's go down to slide 45. A huge solar prominence might be coming apart. Well, yeah, it is. For days, astronomers have been monitoring a huge prominence on the sun. And that you'll see that in the picture above there, that's a prominence. It's like a large eruption that's local, not going out, but just spreading across the surface of the sun. But it can break apart and throw chunks out into the solar system, and whoever's in the way, they get the benefit of it, sort of. On Saturday, the 16th, Dr. Sebastian Volkmar watched part of the structure fly away. As I was indicating there, the sheer size of the prominence is impressive, says Volmer. It was spectacular to see a very fast moving part of it ejecting and detaching to the side. Structures like this, in which hot plasma is held above the sun's surface by dynamic magnetic fields, are inherently unstable. You don't want one of them to break loose and come at you. Just click on the picture and you see this prominence here as it, you know, the right up view of it. I turned it sideways for the icon there, but you can see how large that thing is. Mm. Huge. And there are more of these occurring. Let's see, do I have Yeah, go down to slide 40 and click on the picture there, Eric. Slide 40 shows on the 16th and the 18th of this month, which was, you know, Monday yesterday, shows flares or prominences occurring on the sun in two different locations. The top picture, of course, is on the 16th. And you see in the lower right image there, this loop filament flare bulging out there. And then 2 days later, you can see by the position of the prominent yellow spots there, you can see that it's moved about 30 degrees or so, the sun has. And you see in the top right part of that bottom picture, the bottom one, Eric, there, I think, are you on the top or the bottom? You're on the bottom one? Yeah, okay. Yeah. That is a prominent spreading out over a huge amount of the surface of the sun. It's unstable. They just told you that. They're inherently unstable. And so these activities are indicative of what I've been warning about for years now, that about the sun going to go through a stage of throwing off stuff, you know, debris out into the solar system, radiation, and perhaps changing its nuclear chemistry so that it produces a different wavelength of light and a stronger light, and maybe in a burst mode where it fries a third of the planet, like the Bible says. We're getting close to the behavior of the sun is getting close to the point where we could see something like that happen. And next to that picture there, I was just talking about slide 40. Look at slide 37, 38. There's no 39. Sorry about that. 39 wandered off. Anyway, slide 37 is the normal heliograph made by one stereo satellite that is looking at the sun so that we can see at least what is approaching us from the left side and what is leaving us as far as active regions. Those are the white spots in that picture. Now, if you go over to slide 38 to the right of that and click on the picture, you'll see where I compare with these yellow lines connecting this spots on the heliograph, you know, in the slide 37 there. You can see where those white spots or yellow-white spots in the heliograph relate to the magnetic fields in the picture above it there, which was taken on the 18th yesterday. Gives you an idea of what we are able to see with that one stereo satellite. We lost the other one. It stopped transmitting, but this helps you visualize what those heliographs that are put up every week are telling you, what's coming and what's going. And on the left side of the picture, things are moving to the right. You know, I mean, it's the sun is spinning to the right in these pictures. And this is how I kind of anticipate, look out, we've got some bad stuff coming, using that heliograph down there, green. Anyway, it's just something for you to check on from time to time. Okay. Where do we go with that? We got about 15 minutes. Okay, I'm just going to tell you quickly in slide 46, a new all-time record high for heat was set in the United Kingdom Tuesday. And the brutally hot weather helped exacerbate a growing outbreak of house fires across London. Now, I don't know why made the house fires worse or more prevalent, but apparently it did. The London Fire Brigade was forced to declare a major incident Tuesday in response to a huge surge of fires across the capital. The UK Met Office said that the highest temperatures ever recorded in the UK were observed in the English capital. London Heathrow Airport reported a temperature of 104 degrees Fahrenheit shortly before 1 p.m. local Tuesday. Now, that's their local, you know, highest temperatures or whatever. Obviously, temperatures are higher in the Middle East, and we've had higher temperatures here in the flyover country here in the United States. But you can see people up there in Blackpool in that picture, you know, in their pants rolled up and then feet in the water or whatever, you know, that they could get removed and still be decent there to cool off there in the city in Blackpool from the heat. Let's see what we've got here. All right. More on the sun causing these problems. Slide 45. A huge solar prominence might be coming apart. Well, that's kind of what we were talking about with that other photo down there somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, it's the sun. And I think I've covered all the sun things I need to cover today. The weather, boy, the sun drives our weather. There's no question about that. When it hiccups, we catch cold here, whatever. Slide 41 shows a swarm of 5 water spouts, like water tornadoes, off the coast of Finland. They were all happening at the same time. And this is quite unusual. It means that the storm that's producing these things is extremely strong. And to produce a water spout, what's happening is that you have charged particles which descend from the clouds down to the surface of the earth, in this case to the water. And these charged water particles come down the center of the funnel, hit the ocean, which is the ground, splash out and around and spin back up around the outside of this funnel. Because that's the way your tornadoes and water spouts, which are just tornadoes over water, how they work. But to have 5 of them like this, I mean, this is exceptional. That's a really bad, storm. And instead of lightning flashes, what is happening in this case, because they can't find a direct electron discharge, they're charge carrying with these water droplets. And that's why you don't see the lightning flashes. This is because they're discharging the difference in charge with the cloud and the ocean by these water spouts. Now, click over on the next picture there, slide 42. This is out of my paper, the Gemstone Papers, part 1. And I'm talking about tornadoes here. If you click on that picture, Eric, it's got 2 pictures in there, the top one and the bottom one. And you see, this is what happens in a tornado. In that red, pinkish area, the arrows show the flow of hot, moist air, or warm, moist air, hot, whatever, down toward the ground to hit the ground. Now, if you look at this picture underneath, scoot that the picture up, Eric. This is a same tornado, but the brown is like the red up in the picture we just looked at. And you see that it's going down, 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 and hits the ground. And then there's turbulence on the ground at the end of the tornado as the airflow mixes with the air on the ground and spins around the outside of the tornado funnel back up toward the host cloud. But it doesn't go straight up. It spins around and winds its way back up to the cloud. The vacuum that everybody talks about is actually a very thin wall vacuum on the outside of that blue stuff spinning back up. There's a dead zone, which I show in the top photograph, between the spiraling air and moisture going back up to the cloud versus the funnel coming down, which is shooting the air down. And there's a stagnance on them in between them here, a thin layer where, pieces of house roof and stuff like that stick to. They get to that point because they can't go into the center of the tornado because the airflow is down, not, sucking everything in. Anyway, it's just a point. I saw these pictures of these 5 water spouts, and the one in the middle, if you click on the picture there of the water spouts, you can see the splash zone that comes up and goes back up around, taking the water molecules back up to the cloud. That's in slide, there you go. That one in the middle is a good example. One on the right's a good example, even though you can hardly see it. The mist at the bottom is where the turbulence normalizes and sends stuff back up the outside of the cloud or the tornado funnel.
Well, we have Lake Erie here, and I've seen water spots over the lake, and, it's not unusual, several water spouts, not one time necessarily, kind of almost back to back.
I'm going to see more of these, though. We're going to see very violent weather on land and on sea. It's going to shift from the traditional positions on the planet to others, I'm sure. This is indicative of an imbalance in our thermal equilibrium of the planet. That's what makes these huge thunderstorms. I talk about these in the Gemstone Papers. You can see that in slide 43. You can click on it and go read a summary of it there on the website there.
Cool.
But it's an interesting thing because it's part of my explanation of electricity and how it really works. The mechanism, of electricity. And anyway, that's wow. That's just, I put that in there just to explain what you're seeing in those photographs and how they really work. There was a farmer I talked about years ago, in the late 50s, I think, who was out in his paddocks, a thunderstorm hit, and it created a tornado. And he looked up just in time to see the tornado funnel drop right on top of him. And he thought, well, I'm done. And nothing happened. He was laying there in the paddock, and warm, moist air was flowing down on top of him and spreading out away from him. And that was what I talked about there, where you have that funnel where the hot or warm air comes down and splashes on the ground and turns around and spirals back up. And then it just as suddenly as it came, the tornado lifted straight up off of him and went somewhere else. And that's why he lived to tell about it. And he was one of the first people to give us a clue as to how the tornado really worked. You know, the suction was in the thin wall, not in the core of it. All right. Now, anyway, I've gotten a number of emails from folks who have heard me talk from time to time about the eruption that is coming on Lake Taupo, which is really a caldera covered with water at the moment. So go to slide 47, and you see the article. The scientists are now starting to get a little bit concerned about it. A supervolcano in New Zealand is rumbling, so much so that it's shifting the ground above it. Now, that's, you know, I got the GNS, Geological Nuclear Services down there, to actually complain and to get a budget to go start monitoring the Lake Taupo for an eruption. And they've done this, and that's why they're able to see the shift in the surface down there. They got more money from the government to take a look at what was happening down there, what's going to happen in the future. They are aware that we could have a large-scale eruption from the caldera there under Lake Taupo. I had a dream vision about it. In fact, I have two links talking about it there in slide 47. In your own time, you can click on Dream Visions of 1997 and the Maori Kahuna confirming my dream vision, showing the eruption of Lake Taupo. The dream vision I had, even while I was there, showed the Lake Taupo, and that outline in the picture, you see that outline of the coast around the Lake Taupo. If you click on the picture, you'll see that what I saw, you know, sinking first, that inside that that shape of Lake Taupo, it sank for a bit and then it erupted. And it was a two-stage thing where it erupted, where it sucked people in and it blew hot water and steam and rocks everywhere. That whole area just exploded. And that was in 1997. I had that dream vision before we even went to New Zealand, then another one over there. But it's a long-term warning. It's what, not 25 years ago that they warned these are coming, from what I saw. I'd never even been to New Zealand, didn't have a clue about Lake Taupo or it being an old caldera that was still kind of active, but not recently. And so anyway, keep an eye on Lake Taupo, guys. In the New Zealand news, and also in China, because you'll see in the dream visions there, the Kahuna, the woman from New Zealand, she said that they knew this was going to happen in the future too, and that preceding the eruption there would be another event up in China with a failing dam, where there will be a scandal about the substandard wood and things being used in the construction of a dam, and China, that would collapse and kill hundreds of people and be a big scandal. And at that time, expect Lake Taupo to erupt soon thereafter. It'll be as big as Yellowstone. It's huge. On your own time, so how much time we got left here?
I'm sorry?
How much 6 minutes.
Got left? 6 minutes. Six
okay. Minutes. Let's see. Doug Woodward is a friend of mine. He's written a number of books. He's a Christian author. And slide 49, even though I misspelled it, the first word is watch, not watch. Anyway, watch the interview with Doug and this guy here, because he's addressing his latest book, Will Babylon Be Rebuilt in the Last Days? And he goes through, in the interview even, some rather interesting, pertinent facts about what the Bible says and what countries can and can't do now. And he does go back to the point of view that America is the modern Babylon, but it will not be the kingdom of the Antichrist. Now, I know in the Revelation of John, it's fairly well into the book before God remembers Babylon and then destroys Babylon, you know, and cast into like a millstone into the sea, is absolutely wiped out. How that happens is, you know, I don't know the details of it yet, but he does discuss that in this interview and in the book. I think it's worth at least seeing the interview that Doug has done there. Yeah, he's working on another book, which is kind of beyond this one. It's more of a scientific thing, but really good stuff.
All right. Yeah, I know Doug. He's
yeah.
I've been to a couple of conferences. Yeah.
But we have some interesting discussions from time to time.
It's, sure.
He's my kind of Christian, you know, as a scientist, you know, I can sit there and we can talk. Could this have been caused by the, you know, such and such from the Exodus? What would have caused that tornado type event over the Sea of Reeds there at the Suez area? You know, anyway, yeah, we have interesting discussions on a lot of things.
I bet you do.
The other thing is a documentary video that you can watch in slide 44. If you click on the picture, this is the Noah's Ark complex, the flood complex, where a guy has, you know, built it, he and his family, showing that you can build it and how much labor it took. And, you know, he discusses in a video about what type of trees were used to build the Ark originally, you know, in the Middle East. What is gopher wood? Does it even exist anymore? And he addresses some of the obvious questions that a thinking mind would have when analyzing the flood and the preparation for it. And he does things like, well, Noah probably had his sons help him. If he took 100 years to build the ark, or 100, 120 years, what, you know, did he have help from his sons? Well, you know, they weren't alive to begin with. I mean, they had to be born and they'd be, you know, grow up and to have women, wives and children.
I mean, and, sons that don't help dads do much, you know?
Well.
I don't know.
I might have done it begrudgingly, but between the seven or eight of them, nine or ten or whatever, there would have been probably more workmen doing it, and he probably hired workmen to do a lot of the work because it's a big job.
Yeah.
But this guy that built Noah's Ark here, he used modern equipment things and resources and some labor, but it didn't take him, you know, 60 years to build it. So
it just felt like it.
I'm sure his wife thought that, when will you make an end to it?
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, you can see the lecture about it and inside the ark, if you haven't already seen it these days, but by clicking on the text, you get over to that video.
Cool.
I think that finishes most of the topics for today.
See, folks, Standale's got the coolest stuff on the show images page and at standale.com. I'm telling you right now, you could spend like days there. Okay. You could. And I love it. Thank you, Stan. We got a minute. We're a minute out. So.
Oh, a minute out. Okay.
Any words of wisdom of like, you know, outpouring of intellectual, your intellectual prowess that,
Well, I don't know about that so much, but yeah, it's entertaining, I suppose. It's good to chat with people. Actually, I do have friends, you know, here in the state that have invited Holly and I to stay there for a day or two at their home in some other city, you know, and you get there and you find out that they've organized a party so that you can explain discovery of the Garden of Eden, or about Atlantis, and to give lectures there. So, yeah. Yeah, it keeps the neighborhood entertained.
I didn't know it was a Tupperware party, damn it. But,
yeah. But, oh, well, it's good. I don't mind it.
Yeah, come to the coast. We'll have a few laughs, and you can tell me about the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think about it often, having been there. It's a wonderful place.
Very interesting.
All right, sir.
All right.
Well, for the evening, then, I guess that finishes us up, and, let's hope we have a better tomorrow.
Hey, you know what? One foot after the other, we keep moving, and appreciate all you do, and I thank you very much for everything that you do. Stan Dale from standale.com. Folks, if you're not supporting him, support him, doggone it, and get on his Patreon, and when you get there, you can ask him all kinds of like hard questions. Have him get
that. They do, you know.
Yeah. Have him get the Coke bottle out again.
All right. Yeah. All right.
All right, Stan.
Good evening.
All right. folks, that'll do it for me. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for joining me today and tomorrow. Randy Taylor is going to be back with me tomorrow. All right. Good night.